You believe in climate change? Oh, yeah. For me and for you, if you're lost. Wouldn't it be a shame to be lost and spend all your life fighting climate change and go to a place where it's nothing but smoke and brimstone and fire? Who wants to breathe that air? I'm glad God redeemed us. Amen. I had a thought. I'd like to take about 60 seconds and just give a little admonishment. I think it was Isaiah said, "I'm jealous for the Lord God of hosts." I think it was him. And there's nothing that fires me up worse than seeing people that don't have truth be bold, while people that do have the truth are shy. You know what those Palestinians are doing this week? They're in front of the World Trade Center chanting Allah Akbar. Praise be to Allah. You know what they did in Nigeria this week? They killed 100 Christians. They massacred them. And we're afraid to open our mouths about Jesus Christ? My prayer for me is that I would have the boldness of the heathen for truth that they have for error. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Pray you'd bless it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll start in John chapter 11 and Luke chapter 10. John chapter 11, Luke chapter 10. John chapter, 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold him whom thou lovest is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Luke chapter 10. I want to kind of look at Martha's bad rap here. Martha gets a bad rap, okay? Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful, full of care, and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." And because of that, like Brother Roy said, we learn from people in the Bible, see ourselves. Martha has become the source of sermons for two millenniums. How not to be cumbered about, out of balance, probably priorities out of sync a bit. She hadn't had her quiet time yet, but company's coming over. So quiet time's going to have to wait. She doesn't have a lot of faith with the little things. She gets anxious and nervous. And God's people can be that way. We can trust Him for salvation. We can trust Him for the work of the ministry and direction in our lives and getting through a tough time. But company coming over, I'm a maniac. And so that's a label that Martha gets. And when a saint reads that and can relate to that or hears that preached, they get convicted. And that's good. And conviction is good. And hopefully they get right and they get their priorities aligned to the one thing that is needful, the important thing. But there's a downside. There's a downside to that conviction, I think. And take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. You know what she said over there in Luke? She said, Lord, my sister. Don't you care that my sister? And here's what I want you to get out of this. Conviction is good. And action on conviction is better. And following good godly examples is good. And emulating or applying these godly traits that others have that are around you is better. Until we're trying to be someone that God didn't intend us to be. Conviction from the lives of others shouldn't defeat you. It should better you. Are you with me? You're going to get so comparing yourself with someone that's better or someone that's more spiritual or someone that's more holy or somebody that's more in the ministry or somebody that's got to get it, that you get so down on yourself, you become ineffective. Take your Bibles, turn to Romans 12. Got to get this. See, a lot of people live defeated. Why? Because I'm not like someone else. And Roy set the table for me today. You come in here, and if Pastor Barkowski Sr. didn't notice you first and tell you were all a bunch of heathens, you don't want to come here. I mean, if you missed him, you look around here and say, "Whoa, look at these holy people." I've had people tell me, "I can't be you, Nikki. I can't be you guys." Romans chapter 12, verse 1, you're familiar. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we talked about this a couple Monday nights ago, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on, like a waiter, on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. There's gifts differing. There are differences of administration, but the same Spirit. Embrace your gift and use it for God. Somebody's got to do the dishes in the body of Christ. Somebody's got to wait on tables. And it's good to follow examples until you get so down on yourself because you are not who or what someone else is, you become ineffective, then you're missing the boat. I don't think it was the fact of Martha's... In fact, I know it wasn't the fact of her serving. It was the fact that she was cumbered with serving. Her priorities were cumbered to trouble, to grieve. He didn't say, your trouble is your serving. You're cumbered to load, to crowd, to stop or retard as by a load or weight, to make motion difficult. You're making this thing too difficult. To perplex or embarrass, to distract or trouble. Brambles cumber a garden or field. It wasn't her service. It was her attitude in service. Like the preacher preached the other night. What is that to thee? Hey, don't you see what my sister's doing? What are you doing? I'll never be like so-and-so. God doesn't want you to be so-and-so, or He would have made you so-and-so. I'm not Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I'm not Paul. I'm not a preacher. Woe is me. No. Let me give you an encouraging verse, Martha. Let me give you an encouraging verse. Back to John chapter 11. I loved it. It took me years, man. I preach against the Marthas for 20 years before I saw this verse. After the verse we finished, look at verse 5. Now Jesus loved, say it. Say hallelujah right there. And her sister, Mary doesn't even get her name in that part. And Lazarus. I'm glad that God loves Martha's and God loves Mary's and God loves Lazarus's. Amen? Disciples and dishwashers. You and I don't have the energy. You and I don't have the emotional capacity to be who God didn't make us to be. Take correction. Use others as an example. Reset your priorities. Commit to being better. But when you start getting so down on yourself that you're moping and you lose your confidence in Christ and the gifts that He has given, you're going to feel like you never measure up and you're going to live defeated, and that is not the way for the Christian to live. And you're certainly going to lose your draw from those around you. I'm just as wicked as hell, and I'll never be like so-and-so. Stop. Who does God want you to be? Listen, the guys that I preach with out, they are preaching machines. The guys that I preach with out preach 3, 4, 5 times a week. They have radio ministries. They preach out 30, 40 times a year. They write their sermons on napkins and heaven comes down. My preparations seem like passing a kidney stone. I made a mistake one time, and I think I was away somewhere, and I was trying to remember a sermon that I preached that I wanted to preach in this place, and I went back on the sermon audio or our archives. I can't remember what it was because I don't want to remember. And I started looking for this, and I noticed there was the numbers of views or listens or repeats or whatever it was. And I'm thinking, oh, I wonder how many people listen to my sermons again. None. And I'm going down there, and then I found one. Whoa, 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 whoa. I must have killed it this day. Look at this, 102 or something like that. I look over, James Knox preached here that day. I had to come to the place where I realized I wasn't as smart as them. I wasn't as deep as them. I wasn't as spiritual as them. I wasn't as gifted as them. My upbringing wasn't as clean as most of them. But I'll tell you what I had to get my confidence in. I am me, and He made me, and He loves me, and He began a good work in me that will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, and He's done the same thing with you. Stop comparing yourself with who God doesn't want you to compare yourself with. I'm going to give Him all I got, but I'm going to be who He wants me to be. Early on, I don't use commentaries much at all. I probably should more. And I remember I taught Bill Gothard's lesson on gifts. And I had committed to it, John. I committed to this series. You talk about kidney stones. Who's German? German. They know how to make... do Germans cook? Okay, they potatoes, all right? Polish beer, Polish. Polish. It's like me trying to... You coming over me making you Polish sausage. That's not my thing. I got to be me. And what that does when I'm me, it takes the pressure off of me. And so I know that, you know what? I may not be this guy, and I may not be that guy, and she may not be her, but I am me, and He's begun a good work in me, and I know that He loves me. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Get a hold of that. It'll help you. Verse 3. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, him whom thou lovest is sick. So they have a pressing issue. An issue that was important to them. And let me give you a little encouragement in this. Your issue is important to God. You say, how do you know that? Because He loves you. Brother Jay preached it for years, man. Amy would come and with her little dolly. Daddy, my dolly needs fixing. Is that an important issue to the pastor? Sure enough. Why? Because He loves her. And he'd always say, and if you ain't going to fix the dolly when she comes to bring it because it's her issue, forget it when she wants to talk about things that are maybe a bigger issue. When I love you, your issue is my issue. Bear ye one another's burdens, watch, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. And when I have an issue, I must first remember He cares about me. Because here's that negative thing. Oh, He's not going to bother with this. Why not? I must remember when I have an issue, when I'm facing an issue, that He loves me, that He cares about me. But here's what else I must remember, church. He does not keep my schedule. Verse 6. When he had therefore heard that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Really? Can you imagine? Dad, Mom's in the hospital. What's today? Sunday. I'll get there Tuesday night, Wednesday. Is that love? It may not be man's love, but His ways are not our ways. We're not talking about man. We're talking about God's love. When I have an issue, I must remember He loves me. He doesn't keep my schedule, but He is always right on time. Sometimes we spell God backwards. Sit. Fetch. Stop. Come. Go. Stay. Come on, God. It's been 2 days now. What you waiting for? I talked about praying the Psalms. I hope some of you have incorporated that. But there's a prayer I pray a lot of times, praying through the sign. It's time for thee to work. Psalm 119:126. I looked at that in a different light in this message preparation today. Time for thee to work. According to who? Can I give you a blessing? If you're saved, He's working. He said, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But if you've been at this for a time, you've been through some things, you understand, and you learn, He is not on my schedule. God, you need to do a work. I am doing a work. I'm working on you while you wait. God is more concerned with bettering us than bettering our situations. In fact, our situations is what He uses to better us. So much so that in the Bible He's almost mean about it. Look at verse 14. Important to be between 6 and 14. He basically, nobody tells him Lazarus is dead. He knows it. Yeah, I'm going to go get him. He's sleeping. He's sleeping. No, he's dead. Clearly he's dead. Now what? Look at the last seven words. The last three words of 14 and the first four words of 15. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead and I am glad. Talk about my ways are not your ways. He's dead and I'm glad I wasn't there. What kind of God do we serve? A God whose ways are not our ways and whose thoughts are not our thoughts, or else everything would be a mess like it is down here when we run it. But don't miss the little phrase in verse 15. And I am glad, look at the next three words, for your sakes. Why? What are you doing that I was not there? To the intent ye may believe. You have a believing problem. Oh, you may have faith that I can work. You proved it when you said, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You might even get to the next level of the charismatic and believe that I will do it. But here's a question we all have to answer. What does my faith meter read when it appears He isn't going to do it? Or in this instance, not doing it on my schedule. Hebrews chapter 11. We're talking about university level Christianity here. You know Hebrews 11:13, verse 13. These all died in faith. Look at this. Not having received the promises. But they believed them. And they persuaded of them. And you know what that did to everybody? It confessed, we don't belong here. It confessed to man and God that we are strangers, we are pilgrims, and what happens down here doesn't affect our belief in Him. We will die in faith, but we will have faith. I'm glad I wasn't there. Because you need some faith growing. I want to see what you're like when all your options and all your fancies are off the table and you have nobody but me. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Easy to preach when you're not being slain. I was glad for your sakes. Why? Because the waiting time is the growing time. It's the trusting time. It's the resting time. It's the praising time. It's the Christian time. And I'm pointing at you and there's 100 pointing back at me. It's the time to baffle mankind and battle with the devil. Because faith is the victory. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In spite of the hopelessness of the situation, the waiting time is the time that conforms us to Jesus Christ by depending on Him. Or it's the blow it time. Look at verse 21, back to John 11. Then said Martha, verse 21, I'm sorry, John 11, 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, listen to this. Lord, I don't know if this is a statement of faith or sarcasm or disappointment. Or if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, we don't know that I told you 2 days ago. By the way, Martha, if they got you feeling down, look at verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down on his feet saying, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Like, this is kind of your fault. Remember Saul in 1 Samuel 13, Samuel said, I'll be there in 7. He just couldn't wait. And he pushed himself into the ministry. Listen, we got to learn to wait. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Waiting can be the growing time or the blowing it time. But we love out of balance. And the other side of out of balance is being a professional waiter. 2 Kings 7. Second Kings chapter 7. This has probably been more of my, if I'm going to err, I'll probably err and mess up on this side than the other side. But 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3, and there were four leprous men at the entering into the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here till we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. But if they kill us, we shall but die. Do something. Waiting is important. I got an issue, Lord. I need a job. How's the job situation going, bro? Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Have you put in any applications? Well, I'm not really sure which is the right job for me. So I'm just waiting. You didn't say that about that video game you weren't sure about that you bought. You know, I'm not going to buy this video game. I'm just not sure if this is the right video game. Let's try it out. Have you tried a working? Have you tried a job? I'm just waiting on the Lord to bring Mr. or Mrs. Wright along. I think I read somewhere that he says, he that findeth. Somebody's looking for somebody. Abraham did. He said, hey, you know anybody over there? That's the way we would say it. You know, stay away from those ones over there. They're no good. But these ones over here, go find someone. Isaac did it. He says, son, this is the whatever. Get up. Go over there. Now, we know a prudent wife. You like me preaching that. Look how y'all love kind of smiling. Young people get a little nervous. A prudent wife is from the Lord. Amen? Okay, that's the Bible. And God will bring her right to the front door one day. No, that's you. It never said God is a DoorDash driver. We love out of balance. Professional waiter. I'm just waiting. Man, you're getting some gray hair. You better get you a job. You better find you a ministry. You better start studying. You better get an education. And then you got the other kid, you know, he's 16 and a half and he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over every girl with toenail polish on. You know what we need for balance? We need God. Waiting time can be the blow it time or the grow it time. Well, I got this lump. I'm just believing God for healing. Did you get it checked out? Can I give a little testimony? I get convicted giving testimonies because of good things, you know. But something really, really, really good happened to me this week. I don't know how long it's going to last, Terry. But, you know, for 20 years I ran 5 miles a day. And then for another 20, I walked 5 miles a day and I wore myself out. And for the last 6 months, I have not been able to walk on my daily walks. I'm in agony. I've changed up an exercise routine. But I'm talking about pain. And what do you do when you have pain? You rest. And guess what rest does? Makes it worse. I mean, well, hey, man, Joe. And I mean, I got bone cancer. My mother died of myeloma like Brother Joe. I said, I got something wrong with me. You hear me? So finally I said, I got to get this checked out. And I'm talking to the hip people and this people. I go in. Found an Italian doctor, raving reviews, and I go in there, and he said, I'm not in there 5 minutes. He takes an X-ray right in the office. This is beautiful. He's in there 10 minutes later. He goes, okay, you're a candidate. See the wearing in between the balls and sockets here, and that's what you. But we could do some cortisone. Yeah. No, I'm not big on shots, but I ain't big on pain either. I mean, waking up in the night in agony. I feel good. Like I knew. 5 days. Well, I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm going to the doctors. What's your issue? Could be any issue. Could be school decisions, work decisions, relationship decisions, health decisions, finance decisions, family decisions, job, purchases, ministry, finding a church. I don't have a verse for it yet, but I'll find it. Pray as if God does it all. Work as if you do it all. I think that's a good balance. I heard that one preacher preach, I don't know who it was, but he said, pray and work. Work and pray. If work don't get it, prayer will. If prayer won't get it, work will. And if prayer and work won't get it, you can forget it because you don't need it. Malachi 3, Psalm 26, and we'll be through. Malachi 3, Psalm 26. I'm having a good time pain-free. Of course, I had a tease. Listen, I'm so nice. You get the passage. I'll just tell you a little story. You'd think, like, some people think I preach a little hard. I think this church is going to fill up after I leave. Because we got people, somebody that's just dignified, he's got the truth, but he's not uncultured like Pastor Polk. And there's a little bit of a dilemma in our circles. Old men that don't want to pass the torch. I heard of a man just recently had an enormous ministry, just died, older man, no plan. And people that we know well were called in, like we called someone in, to transition. And guess what? After 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and he, justifiably so, had to run that across his brain when this proposal was made. Well, I get this hip thing done. I mean, the last 2 years, man, I'm just like, I'm going to retire, but I'm going to be a cripple. 5 years. And I thought to myself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to Charlie and say, Charlie, you're not going to believe it. I got these cortisone shots in my hip. I feel great. I'm going to stay for another 3 years. But I'm so nice and I have such a heart for him. I said, Charlie, I can't do it. I can't even pretend because I think you would fall to the floor and then I might really have to stay 3 more years. What did we say? Malachi 3, Psalm 26. Here's what happens during the waiting time. Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. There may be meat in my house. Watch. And prove me now herewith. Deuteronomy 8, 2. These 40 years have I caused thee to wander in the wilderness that I might humble thee and prove thee. Right? So here in this verse, we're proving God during the waiting time. And in Psalm 26, you don't have to go there because I already gave you Deuteronomy 8, 2. God's proving us. And my faith grows. And he proves me. And by faith, I please him. Especially when we determine, I'm going to praise him no matter what. He loves us. Don't ever forget that. Wherever you are on the growth scale, he loves us, but he's not on our schedule. Your issue is his concern. But you are more of a concern. Pray as if he does it all. Work as if we do it all. And you know what he said? He said, I'm doing it for my glory. Let's stand. Jason, come. We'll sing one verse. What's God got for you this coming year? Great time. Well, nobody keeps resolutions. Well, why not make one anyways? You might. I'm not going to keep it anyway. You might.